Hey guys, what's going on? And welcome to a new installment of CFTV Live. Of course, we are presented by our good friends at AgriGold. It's 2017. Did your fields suck last year? You need to contact our guys at AgriGold. How do you like that for a read, Gray?
It's different. It's not one I'd heard before, but you know what? I think it drives the point home.
Well, here's the deal. With my upbringing in Southwest Iowa, I know how to communicate with farmers. So I'm always trying to tell the folks at AgriGold, you need to let me like really
drive it home.
Really run with this campaign, because I used to work at an ag radio station.
They're all ag radio stations down there, aren't they?
Well, kind of, but mine, the one I worked at, really is. It was legit.
It was, and so
like, but all the farmers listened to it. I would read the farm markets. Like, yeah, September corn down 5 at $6.85. Like, I did all that.
Did you get a deeper voice you did it?
Yeah.
You got to play it up a little bit.
Yeah.
So
for sure,
the farmers like it when you say that other corn sucks and to sell AgriGold. I mean, I like it. I think that's great. I'm learning a thing or two here.
Yeah. Well, I can. I can hammer this home if you want.
Yeah.
I kind of feel like we should talk Iowa State basketball, though.
Yeah, we should. Just the second half, though, right?
No, we need to talk about it all. Hey, they play Baylor tomorrow night. Baylor is the second-ranked team in the country. Who saw that coming?
Not me.
In October.
Can I do a public apology to Scott Drew?
Yeah, I would love this.
Yeah.
I think this would be fantastic. I wore my green Baylor shirt today.
Yeah, it's disgusting. For 7 years, I mocked Scott Drew.
Yeah.
Thought he was a phenomenal coach and a phenomenal recruiter and a bad coach. You can't deny it anymore. Guy's a great coach. You know what, though?
Thank you.
I will say, though, early on in his career, I don't think he was a good coach. He's obviously gotten better, which a lot of people can do, right?
You evolve in what you do.
Yes. I mean, he used to have Perry Jones III, and those guys there, they were really talented, and they could never win that many games.
Well, they would be very inconsistent, is the best way to put it.
And like, they were soft. They're not soft anymore.
No. They're the opposite of that.
Yes. Yeah. So
that's the last word I would use to describe Baylor's program.
I liked it a lot better, though, when Baylor was considered just pretty much a gimme win.
Like when it was at Hilton? They were terrible on the road for a really long time.
Who, Iowa State?
Are you talking like way back when Baylor's players were like killing each other?
Yeah, yeah. When they would win zero conference games for 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, you know? Well, they're not that anymore.
No, that was fun though.
Yeah, no, it was a good time. That was the gammy win on the schedule there for a really long time. I guess we can tippy toe back to Texas Tech before we get into tomorrow night's game. I was really surprised with how they came out. I really thought they'd run Texas Tech off the court, much like we saw in the second half. I was a little bit annoyed with the team. Because this is what I was thinking. I mean, man, you got all these seniors. You've been to 5 straight NCAA tournaments. You've won all these games. And all that you've heard over the last 10 days is people calling you a bubble team.
Uh-huh.
I thought they would be a little bit more pissed off going into that Tech game. It took them a while, but you got to be happy with how they rounded that thing out.
Yeah, how they played in the second half, especially the last 10 minutes or so, is what we expected from this team all year.
Yeah.
You know, where they're – Texas Tech did a great job getting back on defense, but Iowa State still pushed the ball. They still play with a tempo, a sense of urgency.
That's the key, the tempo.
Yeah, I mean, if they don't play – if they let teams get back and they just walk up the court, Iowa State's not going to win many games because they're not built for that. They don't have height. They don't have really any ISO scorers on this team that can just go get buckets. They need to play fast, move the ball around, and we saw that in the second half. And that is, I mean, that's the strategy. The rest of the year, they have to be the fastest team on the court.
Solomon Young was fun.
He's awesome. I shouldn't say I'll temper it a little bit, but he did exactly what he needed to do
Correct.
For Iowa State to win that game.
And there's no other player like that on the team.
Nobody. And, you know, I'm not trying to kill like Deontay Burton, but I think it'd be a nice – where Prohm sat down with Monte after we lost to, was it Iowa? I think he sat down and went through some tape. I think it'd be a good time to sit down with Deontay and be like, hey – you have the skill set to do a lot of things Solomon Young can't do, but this is what Solomon did to help us win the game. You know, switching on screens, getting back, setting hard screens when we have the ball in offense, stuff that Deontay can do, he's just not doing right now. And I think it'd be a nice little wake-up call to say, hey, this freshman here is doing things that you're not doing. We need you to do these things.
From what I understand, because I don't know if you read my Monday musings yesterday. It was about Deontay Burton.
I did.
And how they I mean, the overall point to the piece was if Iowa State wants to max out this year, whatever that is, I don't even know. I really don't know what that is. Sorry, I just got a text message.
That's all right. Anything important?
No.
Okay.
They've got to have Deontay Burton clicking. Mm-hmm. You know, like let's say this team's ceiling is the second weekend of the NCAA tournament. They're not getting there if Deontay's not engaged.
Correct. We said this at the beginning of the year. He was the X factor of the team.
He's got to be the guy.
Yeah, and I feel even more strong about this since watching
that Gonzaga game, right, where he had 29.
Yeah.
I think that's a top 10 team that you really. You didn't score in the last 4 minutes or whatever it was.
This is my worry 29. For Deontay though. He's going to have games where he has 29, and he's going to have games where he played kind of like he did against Texas Tech.
Or even Drake, where he was
terrible.
0-6 or whatever inside the paint.
He's going to be hot and cold, and I worry. He's a senior now. Can you change a guy like that this far into his career?
I don't think so.
So I think
honest opinion? Yeah, no, I don't think you can. I think you are who you are at that point.
And I think there's going to be games where you ride that hot hand, and there's other games where he plays 15 minutes because he's – missing shots. And
maybe, are we wrong though? I mean, did Abdul Nader make that change? But he was still really inconsistent last year.
Yeah, but he was.
His best part of the year were the last 10 games far as consistency goes.
This is true. Maybe I should go back and watch the games. I don't feel like Nader, when his shot wasn't falling, hurt us as much in other parts of the game as much as Deontay Burton has.
Deontay walking up and down the court has to stop.
Has to. And it was very noticeable in the Texas Tech game. I don't notice it a lot in other games, but I noticed in that Texas Tech game.
Well, because not only – the problem I have with it is it breeds negativity because fans see that.
Yep.
You know, and the players see that. And I think those guys probably understand Deontay way more than any of us. But it's just a bad look. It's bad body language. I don't know. That stuff kind of tends to spread, especially when you're a team where – all you're talking about leading up to games is how we need to increase tempo.
Yep.
And then you've got your guy who we just have both talked about how he's the X factor, and he's literally walking up and down the court. Like, it's a bad look.
And what, even when he gets back on defense, isn't really moving too much when he's back there either.
Correct.
Moving his feet. But the thing is, we've seen him do it, right? We've seen him get back on defense. We've seen him run up and down the court.
There'll be 4 or 5 games that we're going to come talk about this year where Deontay Burton's the MVP.
Yeah.
And you don't win without him.
And people are talking about him on a national level. Because 2 weeks ago, Deontay Burton was talked about as one of the hardest guards in the country.
Yeah. And he still can be.
He can be. Yep.
The bunnies are what's interesting to me because it's like, in his defense, he's 6'4", 6'5", right?
Yeah.
And he's missing these shots around the rim that are much more difficult for him than it would be a – I don't even name anybody. However, man,
he's – an Abdul Nader.
Yeah, he's 6'7". Been so bad inside the paint.
Yeah, yes.
I don't know if it's – I don't know how to analyze it, honestly. I've asked Steve Frum about it. Steve seems to think that it'll all even out eventually. It probably will to some extent, but I think there's more to it.
You know, he goes in hard to a certain point, and then when he gets there, he goes soft from there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Kind of a lot of finger rolls, a lot of...
I asked D-Rob this when we were down in Florida, and Bloom and I were doing the games. I'm like, dude, do you ever just tell the guys to dunk it? Because I was talking about Holden.
That's hard, though. It's hard just to dunk it.
He's like, yeah, we tell him that all the time.
Is that what he says?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you're right. I mean, it's easy for a little white guy like me to say.
Those guys are big inside.
I'm 5'10", and I've never – I mean, if I can touch the net, that's a good thing for me. It's another thing to say, hey, just jump up and dunk it when you've got this guy trying to block your shot.
When they go up, they're getting hammered too. And
correct.
They have to think about how hard they're going to be coming down as well. How about Holden, though? Is he going to just slowly just play himself out? Because personally, I think they have to get him right.
No,
they have to get
I think Prohm's with you.
I mean, if Iowa State's going to be as good, I mean, they're playing Baylor and these teams, they need Holden to play 15 minutes.
He looked better in a Big 12 game than Bowie did, I thought. And that, not like necessarily with production, but I'm talking like defensively. He was more active. They're listed the same, but he looks bigger.
He looks bigger.
You know, he's
thicker.
Know.
He can take more of a beating.
He looks like he'll be more effective than Bowie will in that aspect. Bowie's going to have his games where he scores more.
Yeah.
I think Bowie's more of the I always call it the Charles Boozer theory, where remember when Charles Boozer would score like 26 against like North Dakota State and then he'd never do anything in the Big 12?
Yeah.
I think it's going to be harder for Bowie to replicate what he did in the non-con.
Yeah.
I think Holden's more of a – and it's crazy based off of production because he's not been very good. I fully understand that. But I'm more with you. Instead of just throwing him on the bench and forgetting about him, you got to try and find a way to get that guy involved.
The one thing that translates for Bowie, though, is he plays hard.
Yeah, he does all the time.
I mean, and that's,
all the time.
So you can put him in there. And he might not give you – his skill set might be a little lower than what you want or – you know, he's not as big as you want, but at least you know he's bringing it every single time.
He hit that big three the other night.
He did.
Kind of got him going. I mean, so he...
Which is weird. We couldn't make any threes, and who's the guy that makes it? Our 47% free throw shooter.
I leaned over to Jared and said that. I was like, who called a Daryl Bowie three to get this run snapped? Okay, the four-guard lineup, I use in air quotes because I don't think Nick Babb's really a guard, but whatever. He can play it if he needs to.
Sure.
That was fun.
That was fun.
I think Donovan Jackson, man, where he's at now compared to where he was at the beginning of the year, he was and Steve talked about this in postgame, just very active defensively. He mm-hmm. was a – and that's – you know, with a Burton, like, how tall is Donovan? 6'1"?
If that.
Yeah, I mean, he's out there, but he's moving around. He's got hands in his face. Like, that's what that lineup brought, just so much energy. I've liked Nick Weiler-Babb in the lineup more than Burton throughout most of the year. I think the ball moves around a lot better when you don't have Deontay there in the middle of the key and kind of a black hole sometimes. I liked what we saw. I do think that it's easy for fans to overreact, though, and go, oh, do that all the time. I don't think you could necessarily do that, but, man, it's good to see that developing, though.
Yeah, I'm not one that gets caught in who starts, but – Donovan Jackson and Solomon Young, they don't need to score for Iowa State. If Jackson hits a three or two a game, great. If Young gets a putback or two, but what they do on the defensive switching, getting back, being gnats, you know what I mean? Almost
Absolutely.
Being just little annoying pests is what Jackson reminds me of.
Well, there was a moment in that game, it was in the first half on Friday night, where I distinctly remember Naz screaming switch.
Mm-hmm.
Deontay didn't make the switch.
Nope. Shoots an easy three wide open.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Donovan seems to be
more locked in on that.
Better on that end of the court right now.
Yep. And Solomon Young, too. I mean, he was – the holes that were there on that pick and roll game for Texas Tech early were not there in the second half when Young was in the game.
Yeah.
So, but as far as the four-guard lineup goes, I think Nick Weiler-Babb brings something to the table. We don't have athleticism. He's a little bit stronger, but defensively, once again, Iowa State, I don't think this team can score what we've typically seen the Iowa State team score in the last 4 or 5 years. I just don't think – they don't have a George Niang to get the ball in the middle. So they have to play better defense. And if they're going to do that, it starts with Babb and it starts with Jackson. Those guys got to play more minutes than what they played so far.
I think that they will. And that brings us to an interesting matchup tomorrow. Now, just so you guys know, birdies that I've talked to – said that Deontay was fantastic in practice yesterday.
Good.
Specifically. Fantastic. They were really happy with how he bounced back. That was a concern for me. His body language was terrible at the end of the – I was watching him specifically at the end of that game.
There's never been issues with Deontay, though, has there? I mean, as far as the coaches say, I mean, has he ever been – I mean, he's never had a Jameel McKay-like type
no.
in practice, has he?
He doesn't have that, like, mean streak to him. He's actually a super soft and nice kid. And
yes.
By soft, I mean very cuddly, a good dude.
Yep.
Off the court. The problem you have with Deontay is just lighting a fire under his rear.
Yep.
And he came out and practiced really well yesterday.
Good.
I know that. They're really happy with it. They actually really – I'm not saying they're predicting a win at number two Baylor, but I think that the staff and the guys feel really good about how they ended that game. They feel like they've got some mojo back. And I saw our buddy Kirk Holland throw this out on Twitter last night. It's like, when's the last time Iowa State has had – so little of expectations going into a game compared to tomorrow night where they're going to be double-digit dogs.
Probably 10, 11 points, I imagine. Yeah.
At Baylor, of all teams. This is kind of a fun little game to go into, I think.
I was thinking about this last night. Are you talking about the game as far as Kirk Collins' question or the game of the Baylor game?
Just all in general, all together. I mean, I think Kirk raises a fine point.
He did. I thought it had to be back to Hoiberg's first year as coach.
Yeah.
I mean, probably when we played at Kansas his first year. Otherwise, every other game, even when Niang was out against Connecticut, I still went to New York City, not expecting win, but thinking we could win.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Going into game against Baylor, I don't think we can win. Based on what I've seen so far.
No, you're fair. The one point I raised on Friday night when I was with Bloom and John Walters, of all people, and we were watching the Big 12 scores come in and whatnot, I would rather get Baylor, knowing that program's history, after a huge blowout win, then I'd rather play them tomorrow in this scenario where they're undefeated
Yep.
Where they've had a lot of success against Iowa State.
They've won how many in a row against Iowa State?
Well, they've won two in a row in Hilton. They've won four or five against Iowa State. The one loss came in the Big 12 championship game, I believe.
I think you're right.
So, I don't know. This Baylor team has given me no reason to think that, oh, they're going to be overconfident or anything like that. But I do know that there's a lot of parity in college basketball. You got five senior starters at Iowa State. These guys have won a lot of games. It wouldn't be crazy. I don't think it'd be crazy tomorrow. However, the expectations are clearly not where we thought they would be.
I think this Iowa State team's clearly going to be confident for the reasons you stated. They got five seniors. They've been in hostile environments before. They played well in those environments before. So they're not going to be scared.
You remember the end of that Baylor game in Waco last year where Monte hit that shot, it got waved off, went to overtime, lost by nine.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, they've been right there.
Right there.
Granted, this is a much different team, obviously.
This is where I don't like the matchup. They're obviously long. They're going to play that zone. Last year we had Niang we could kind of put in the top of the zone there. Mm-hmm. Who are you going to put this year? It's going to be Burton.
Yeah, it's going to be Deontay.
And do you trust Burton to make decisions against that zone?
You're going to need 25 out of Deontay tomorrow to win.
And seven assists maybe. Like he's going to – because they're going to collapse on him because they know he's not really much of a passer.
That or the dudes are just going to have to hit 15 threes and shoot over to the zone all night.
Yeah, which is tough. That's hard.
Brutal to do on the road.
And because you're typically passing around the outside, it's not getting inside and kicking back out.
Yeah.
That's where I don't think Iowa State can get the ball inside that zone. That's where I think Iowa State's going to struggle.
And defensive rebounding will be hard, too.
Yep.
Against that Baylor front line.
I hope I'm wrong. I just don't think it's a good matchup. I'm not trying to be as down on this Iowa State team. I like what we saw in the second half against Texas Tech. Sometimes you look at a game and you say it's a bad matchup.
There's a reason why Baylor has given Iowa State as many problems as it has.
Yep. Bad matchup.
Do you think that Baylor is a top five team?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, if you're going just based on resume, I think you can make a case they're number one team.
No, I'm saying I'm not even talking about resume. I'm saying about the teams you've watched. Do you think they're a top five team? Resumes are different than do you think that they're...
I think Villanova, until anyone beats them, is number one.
I thought they'd lose to Creighton.
Yeah, and they...
That's a hard place to play.
They were so good down the stretch in that game. Awesome. It was amazing.
That was a fun game.
That was fun. That was both teams. I mean, Creighton, you could make a case for Creighton to be a top five, top ten team.
What that game did to me was reinforce how far Iowa State needs to go.
Yeah. Well, they just have more pieces.
Well, I know, but just think about how they moved the ball.
They moved it, yep.
How
good is that point guard?
That was a fun game.
That was. I would say Villanova would be number one. You know, the team that should be up there, but Grayson Allen's gotten kicked off, the freshman, and now Coach K's
got... Coach K's out, yeah.
I mean, but would it surprise you if come March, Duke is the team that's cutting down the nets?
I think Duke's the pound-for-pound the most talented team in college basketball.
I think I would agree with that. They haven't played with yet.
Talent plus experience. Yeah. I mean, that's obviously...
And you have the coaching factor.
Yeah.
Okay, I mean... Guy wins.
He's got to be done soon, doesn't he?
I don't know. His hair's still pretty dark.
Well, he's got to be. That guy doesn't. He's like the Bill Snyder of college basketball, except he wins national titles.
He does. I'll save the Bill Snyder talk for a different podcast.
What, do you got problems with Bill Snyder?
No, not at all.
Oh, okay. Because we're going to record a college football podcast.
That's why I bit my tongue there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we'll save that for next.
All right, a couple minutes to go here. CFTV Live, presented by our friends at AgriGold. So, there's no point spread out for this one yet. I'm going to guess it's in the low double digits.
10.5, 11 be my guess.
How do you see it going down tomorrow? I think Iowa State plays well. I don't necessarily think they win, but I think with five to go, this is still a game in doubt. I think they play really – I don't think they'll win. I'm not going to pick that because I think Baylor's going to get too many easy looks because of the offensive rebounding and Iowa State struggles on that end.
Yeah.
But I think the guys go out and hit some threes, keep this thing interesting. I'll take Baylor by 7 or 8.
Really? I think Iowa State struggles to get good looks all game. And the only way they can is if they get stops and turnovers and create the fast break points.
Correct.
Even then, here's the difference, too. Baylor's not just long. They're long and athletic, mm-hmm. right?
So absolutely.
You know, you remember last year when we were looking about Iowa State possibly playing Purdue in the NCAA tournament, and we thought great matchup because Purdue, while they're long, they were slow. And Iowa State could run them up and down the court. They'd have trouble switching. Baylor could – I mean, they run the zone, but – there's not really a matchup problem for them because even though they're 6'7", 6'8", 6'9", those guys move really, really well. I just think Iowa State will struggle to get shots, good shots, and they haven't shot the ball well enough this year for me to believe that they're going to shoot good over that zone. So I think Iowa State loses by 15.
Okay.
I hope I'm wrong.
I think there are probably more people in your camp. I'm I might be buying a little bit too into what my birdies are saying, but man, they were really happy with the last couple of days of practice.
Good, and
very happy.
And that matters. That does. Yeah.
And these are people who would tell me, yeah.
Not looking good.
It's not looking, and they seem to be really encouraged by how the team ended the game. There's a sense of feeling of we're back.
Good.
In the program after that second half. And I do think, too, one final point, and I think Tech's probably a little better than most of us envisioned
going into
that game after seeing them live.
I got in an argument with a guy on Twitter. I think that's an NCAA tournament team.
I do, too.
They were in the NCAA tournament last year.
I do, too.
They returned a lot of guys.
Did you see the lines for tonight?
No.
Look this up real quick. I was told TCU's favored by 11 over Oklahoma.
Okay, your boy Kruger, he's seen better days.
They're not very good this year.
No.
But my point is the depth of this league again.
10.5.
10.5, is that what it is?
Yeah.
Is that the only Big 12 game tonight?
No.
Who else is up?
KSU, Kansas. Kansas is by 13.5. That's a big line. Kansas State's not bad this year.
No.
They're better than I thought they were going
to
be.
They're better. They have more scoring than you thought. And they just play that garbage style that – is annoying.
Yeah.
I think Oklahoma State might be a tournament team.
Look at this game. West Virginia, Texas Tech. Texas Tech's only a 2-point dog.
So that just proves the point I just was trying to make.
They're a pretty good team. They're solid.
This could be a 7-bid league.
I think it will be.
Yeah.
And you know, me saying that Iowa State's going to go down and lose to Baylor, I don't think it's a big deal. I mean, obviously, if you win a road game in the Big 12, you're stealing a game. Mm-hmm. But it's all about protecting home court and winning games in Hilton and then beating Oklahoma on the road or getting TCU or
correct.
Kansas State.
Because I think they'll lose to Baylor and Kansas at home this year.
And so you got to win two games in the road. Because 9-9, Iowa State's going to get in the tournament.
I would agree.
Because the Big 12 is right now, what, RPI number one?
Yeah, it's number one right now.
And it's going to stay number one because they're all in conference.
Yeah, and they're not there's really no garbage team in the league now.
Oklahoma might be garbage. They lost to UNI. And UNI is what, 5-8 now?
UNI is not very good. I saw, except the one game I went to, I went and watched TJ's team play there.
Oh,
and
yeah.
They had like 19 threes or
23. Yeah. Didn't they hit 23?
Oh, yeah, it was 23. It was
23 threes.
Stupid. Stupid.
Texas is pretty bad this year, too.
Yeah, but aren't they talented enough where they're going to get better?
You would think so, and they're young talent, but they don't have a guard.
Yeah.
You would think Monte could have some fun there.
We'll see.
He's got to be happy not to play Isaiah Taylor anymore.
The thing is about both of those teams, you got two good coaches too, so they're going to continue to get better, but you got to have some dudes at some point as well.
Yeah.
I haven't really seen Oklahoma play that much. I watched the second half of that UNI game where they just completely collapsed.
They were by like 15 in that game.
Yeah, well, we thought it was over.
Yep.
We quit watching it, and then, yeah.
They pulled the UNI from the NCAA tournament.
That they did. All right, good basketball discussion. Thanks for listening, everybody. We appreciate it. Thanks to our friends at Agrigold. We'll be back next Tuesday, as always. And a lot of good content coming up on the site. I can tell you that I'll have Rob Gray's preview for the game coming up here. 1:30, I have that set to post. It's fantastic.
Did I hear a birdie that Brent Bloom was writing some garbage
no,
garbage article?
I asked him to do this.
Oh, geez.
So Bloom and I we recently went to – we watched Otzelberger's team play at Drake. And Bloom gave the crew there an F on the Bloom scale.
Gosh, I wish I was watching.
Unprecedented. That's never happened. It's literally never happened before. And I was like, Bloom, we need a refresher on the Bloom officiating, like how fans should – so then Bloom went and sat in the stands at the Texas Tech game, and he was getting really frustrated with people yelling like over the back and – 3 seconds.
Because over the back is what basketball people say, Bloom.
No.
No, it is.
It's displacement.
It's even what coaches say. It's what players say.
It's not. I mean, there's no such thing as over the back.
But that's,
Bloom will explain.
No, I know. He's explained it many times because he's a dork.
So we have a fresh Bloom officiating column coming up.
I will not be reading it.
Coming up as well. Gray and I are going to have a Big 12 football podcast. Podcast coming up later in the week. So check it out. We appreciate it. Thanks for watching, everybody. Have a great day.
Thank you.